Welcome to the Wise Money Show with Garwin and Leanne Lenander of Lenander Financial. Get your questions ready and send them to wisemoney@klbbradio.com. Questions about finances, long-term care, insurance, and everything that goes along with preparing for the next phase of your life. Gar and Leanne Lenander have the answer. Email your questions to wisemoney@klbbradio.com or visit them online at wisemoney-klbb.com. That's wisemoney-klbb.com. And now it's Wise Money on KLBB with Gar and Leanne Lenander of Lenander Financial Services.
Welcome to the Wise Money Show. This is Leanne and Garwin Lenander. We are going to continue off of our discussion of last week. We talked about a client that we visited and some of the things that we ran into. And yes, we've talked about that over the last 10 years, a lot of the same things, but it appears that these same problems arise with multitude of clients, and it's really the basically the same problems. So, Leanne, let's go into this a little bit and talk a little bit about it. We talked about some of the problems that we had. So why don't you start out with one, and we'll follow up a little bit with that.
What we're looking at here is ideas to give you some to work with to smooth out your estate. If something happens to you, where are you going? What are you going to do for the individual family who has this emotional turmoil of a death in the family? One of the things that we discussed was annuities, because this particular person who was deceased had like 5 different annuities. He had 3 different pension plans. He had an IRA. He had just a plain, what we call non-qualified, because he put just regular money into it. And these were into annuities. Now, when you're looking at pensions and when you're looking at annuities, you're looking at things like insurance companies being involved.
They are insurance companies, yes.
So they are involved in the whole process. Now, when they're involved in the process, the one thing we mentioned was one insurance company buys another insurance company buys another insurance company.
And you can't find out who in heck they are. That is, I literally have had to, this time I didn't have to, but I have had to call the state of Minnesota to find out who bought Wildlife of Texas, because they're gone and they've got a pension, or they got a life insurance, or they got an annuity with them. And how do we find them? So, by the way, you can, I guess the point I'm trying to make is you can call the state of Minnesota, the Commerce Department, if you ever get into that bind, and they do know who owns them.
But keep in mind that generally once a year, especially on the fixed annuities, you get a statement. Keep that statement with your policy.
Why only once a year?
That's generally how they have it set up.
That's exactly what they do. They only do an assessment of the values once a year. If the contract was issued on July 1st, you'll only get one statement on them. That is on all fixed annuities and indexed annuities, except Aviva. You can get statements daily.
You have to request them, and some insurance companies are getting more comfortable sending out statements on more than a once a year time frame.
But it doesn't make a difference. You get it on July 1st or you get December 1st. It's the same statement. They do only do their calculation one time a year.
So be sure you keep that last statement with your insurance policy. The other thing is we have variable annuities. Now, when we have variable annuities, you have mutual funds with an annuity wrapper around it. In a case like that, you have securities inside of it, and those securities are involved with mutual funds. Those mutual funds go up and down on a daily basis. You might have a bond fund in there. You might have a growth fund in there. You might have a growth in income or a balanced or an international. So they will generally send out a statement every month to you. Keep that with your statements, your other statements. You can always throw the old ones away at some point, but keep the last one, because the last one says, this is where it's coming from, this is whose name it's in, this is the account number, and, of course, when you write that annuity, variable or fixed, it's going to say in the actual contract who the beneficiaries are, and that's very, very important.
Remember, as I said last week, beneficiaries always take precedent over wills, because beneficiaries are paid immediately. The will may drag on 6 months, a year.
The other aspect when we come to looking at something in the fixed area is life insurance.
And again, the life insurance is a beneficiary-driven contract, beneficiary-driven whoever's on the name of the beneficiary. Now, occasionally, you'll have a situation where you'll have a trust, and the trust is the beneficiary. Again, the trust takes precedent, whatever that trust is named the beneficiary. Occasionally, you'll have a funny situation where the insured has no rights to that contract at all beneficiary. The trust is the owner and the beneficiary.
And it would state that on the statement, and it will state that on your contract, so keep that with your contract.
Keep that in mind. So I talked to a fellow the other day about his insurance, and he said, well, I'm not the one to talk to. You need to talk to my wife. My wife is the trustee of our trust, and she controls it. I really have nothing to do with it. And I said, that's true. He was the insured, and that, of course, is the one I normally would talk to. But he said, I have nothing to do with it. It's my wife who is the trustee. So
no.
You need to understand that the insured on this situation, he has no rights in making any changes in that contract.
When you're looking at life insurance, the other thing you need to look at is what kind of life insurance policy is it? Is it one that builds cash? So you will get a statement, if it's building cash, each year that will talk about how much cash there is in that policy.
A cash-building contract could be an index policy, a plain old whole life, non-participating whole life, or a participating whole life. And all those will build cash. Some will build minimal amounts, and some may be building a lot. Back in the late 80s, it was the in thing to do was to stuff life insurance policies with lots of cash because that was a good place to hide money. But then the feds came out with some new rules and that kind of dispatched that. But yes, you need to know how much cash in there because you have a declining death benefit when you have an increasing cash value.
You better explain that a little bit further because that can be very confusing. You're not getting both the cash value and the death benefit.
Let's assume that you have $100,000 of life insurance and you have $22,000 of cash value into that contract. You've been putting some nice premiums in there. So you have really only $68,000 of death benefit. And when you die, you get your $68,000 of death benefit and your $22,000. 68, 78, I said that wrong, didn't I?
Yeah.
$78,000. Dan looked at me funny. $78,000 of death benefit and $22,000 of cash totals up your $100,000 of death benefit.
So you don't get both things. It's all wrapped into one.
Unless you have a special rider that says you get that.
Well, that's true. You have to look at all
sides
of that contract.
Because there are some contracts that are issued with a $100,000 of death benefit plus the cash value increase. Not that often, but it does happen, so you got to be a little careful of that.
These are just some of the things that you have to look at when you're dealing with the particular area of insurance and your pensions, that kind of thing, where you're getting into annuities and you're getting into life insurance. The next thing you will look at is, do they have anything at the... Well, actually, you probably would look at this first. What do they have at the bank?
Yes.
Would they have a checking account, a savings account? Do they have
CDs,
correct? They may even have annuities at that bank.
Now, remember, the annuities are not issued by the bank. They're always issued by a life insurance company. So the banker who says, well, we've got this great annuity, well, no, they don't. They get it. They sell it from a life insurance contract.
Getting to that money at the bank will make a difference if that account is set up as a TOD account, transfer on death. So if you have a checking account or a savings account and you want someone to be able to get to it immediately, you can state on there transfer on death, which means if something happens to you, you can then go to the individual. Of course, they have to present the death certificate that they have the right to get to that money because it's going to be transferred to them on death. If you have your checking account and you have your name on the checking account, but you have somebody else who signs on those accounts, like a daughter or a son, then they also can have quick access to that money. But if you want to be sure that you don't have to worry about it, be sure you add transfer on death or a TOD account, and you can talk to your banker on that.
One word of caution. If you give somebody the right to write checks on your account,
be careful.
Be careful, because that gives them unfettered rights to go and write checks on your account. And unfortunately, we've had a couple situations where we know where a wonderful child, a brilliant child, got in and wrote checks on the mom and or dad's account.
And they hadn't followed it closely.
And cleaned it out, and the child was doing whatever. And so you've got to be very, very careful about that. My child wouldn't do that. Well, maybe most of them would, but some will.
However, when you do a transfer on death, that means they only get it in case of a death.
That's different.
You also have a safety deposit box at the bank. Now, there, again, you can label just yourself and your spouse, or you can put somebody else's name on it. Now, there again, you have to be very, very careful, because you have valuables in that account or in that safety deposit box. You don't want just anybody to go into it. And the bank is going to be very careful in checking out who has the right to get into that safety deposit box.
If you've been squirreling diamonds away in there for years,
be careful.
They might disappear.
Not necessarily.
I hate to sound so pessimistic, but unfortunately, I've seen some bad situations.
We've seen some things. We're just
in the 40 years we've been in business here.
We're trying to explain. These are some things that can be done, but you have to be very, very careful in every step you take. It really doesn't matter if it's in securities, a stock, or a bond, if it's in something like CDs, if it's in your checking or savings. No matter how you do this, how you set it up is very, very important. And how you pass it on is very, very important. That's where the will comes in, a trust comes in. That's where ownership comes in. That's where the durable power of attorney for finance comes in. So you have to be careful how you set it up, how you want your estate handled. Then you need to keep good records.
One of the things that people always say, well, do I really need a will? But remember, if you've got beneficiaries and payable upon deaths, et cetera, you don't need a will. But a will really is designed to take whatever you haven't put a beneficiary on, anything that you've forgotten about, cleanup, to take over for things that you don't have beneficiaries on. But all life insurance and mutual funds and all those things, that's very easy. You don't need a will on them. They can be taken, transferred on.
You have brokerage accounts, too, at the different broker-dealers or at, like, a Schwab, something like that. Keep records of that, too. It shows ownerships. It should show who the beneficiaries are. And you should look to see if you're in stocks or bonds, whatever you're in, because when you take possession of those things, you've got to be aware if you're going to go ahead and sell anything, there may be some tax ramifications.
Thank you for being with us this morning on the Wise Money Show. If you have any questions or comments, call us at 651-436-3997 or 651-365-5000.
I didn't think he'd remember that number.
Leanne has a new number. She has moved her office. So if you have some comments or questions, please email us here at the radio station or give us a call. We'd be delighted to hear from you. We're delighted to answer any questions, and talk to you next week.
Experience counts. Now more than ever, when it's time to trust your finances to someone else, experience counts. And Lenander Financial Services are financial professionals who specialize in assisting people just like you with personal finance, investments, retirements, insurance, and long-term care planning. Call Garwin and Leanne Lenander at 952-835-4136. That's 952-835-4136. Lenander Financial Advisory. Experience counts.
Thank you for joining us this morning for Wise Money with Garwin and Leanne Lenander of Lenander Financial. Join Gar and Leanne each Saturday morning at 11:45 for more of the Wise Money Show. Email your questions to Gar and Leanne, and the address is wisemoney@klbbradio.com. That's wisemoney@klbbradio.com. Or visit them online at wisemoney-klbb.com. That's wisemoney-klbb.com. Join us again next Saturday for the Wise Money Show with Gar and Leanne Lenander of Lenander Financial on Club 1220 KLBB.